SiriusXM Channel 141. SiriusXM Channel 141. HUR Voices. Washington.
Hello and welcome to the Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bonnie Deshawn.
And I'm Javon Harley.
And our website is betravelingeye.com. Once you get there, you can read all about Javon and I. You can read some of those great blogs, see some great pictures, spend some like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out that Instagram and YouTube page, and join our travel club. Well, today we're talking about the U.S. Open. That's right. We're at the Open. We're going to tell you how you can take the experience next year, and if you want to plan for it, everything you need to know.
Well, it's time for some travel news, Javon, and a while ago you told us about pets going first class.
Yes, on American Airlines, they have created a pet compartment on their A321s flying between New York and Los Angeles on their transcontinental flights. Well, they have now launched and rolled out that service. But you may be thinking, why did they come up with this type of service? Why did they create pet compartments for passengers and their furry friends?
Exactly.
Well, the reason that they did was because first-class passengers are not allowed to have their pets in the cabin with them.
Really?
And that's right. It's a very strange thing, these new type of cabins that are on first-class aircraft, transcontinental. They're not allowed to have the pets in these cabins, where in economy class, they can just put the pet carrier underneath the seat in front of them. They don't have that luxury on the A320 transcontinental flights in first class.
Wow.
That's why they created the pet compartments in first class, so that their first class passengers can stow the pet carriers in these compartments.
Makes sense now. I want to see it, though. I really do want to see what it looks like.
You know what it looks like? I saw pictures of it, and it looks like the area where flight attendants store their luggage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like.
Oh.
And they have an upper and lower, so each one can house two pet carriers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat, though. I'm glad.
Yeah. So, problem solved.
A little fight, open, go. All right, now, airline pricing, what's going on with that?
Well, we can look at our friends at Ryanair to decipher some of this, because one of their passengers, or actually more, several of their passengers, were looking at their pricing structure, and one in particular priced an airfare with just herself and got one fare. Let's say she got 150 pounds. Well, she went back not too much later and decided to take her daughter with her. So when she put in for two people, the fare was higher per person. And she thought, why is this the case? So she went back, said, okay, for one person, and she got the 150 again. When she went back and said for two people, she got 174. Well, Ryanair isn't the only carrier that does this. They really have these different types of fares that they put out, these fare structures. Then this is all about managing the inventory, and yield management is what they call it. So, for example, they put out so many seats at a particular price, mm-hmm, in economy class. Once those seats are gone, even though it's still economy class, the price goes up. So let's say out of 100 seats, they say we're going to sell 10 seats at $150. We're going to sell another 20 seats at $175. So we're going to sell another 50 seats at this price. And, of course, they reserve a certain number of seats for those last-minute desperate people,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to pay a much higher price. So she may have been the 10th person for that lowest airfare, but when you book two people, now the price per person goes up.
Wow.
Because now you have two people, and they don't have two seats at that airfare. So in one reservation, those two people have to pay the higher airfare. And that happens not just with Ryanair, but that is yield management, what pricing, inventory control, and pricing is all about.
Well, you know, on one hand, it makes a lot of sense. But on the other hand, it's like, well, come on, can't everybody have a $150 seat?
Well, because it's just like a retail store has a sale. Why can't everybody get this item at this price, and you only have so many of those items. And I'm quite sure that some stores hold inventory in the back and say, we're only going to sell so many at this price. I used to do merchandising and buying, and so I know that's the case. All inventory isn't always put out, or they have a sale period for a particular amount or a certain time period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, makes sense. There's a new hotel in Atlanta.
There is. There's a new hotel that's going up in Atlanta, and it's going to be a boutique hotel, a luxury hotel. Beltway Investment International and Smart Hotels and Hospitality Ventures Group got together, and they announced their joint venture to develop the very first hotel in what they call Atlanta's Beltline. And the Beltline is a project that Atlanta created so that when you go to Atlanta, you now have a way to enjoy the city by foot and by bike.
Mm-hmm.
And it also extends to the historic Old Fourth Ward. And the Old Fourth Ward is not far from downtown, and it's walking distance to the Martin Luther King Jr. historic site.
And now it's great. I mean, and it's a wonder you see some wonderful old buildings and homes and areas, you know,
yeah,
in that area.
So they started building the Beltline back in 2005, and so far they've had $2.4 billion in new private development, and it really does connect this historic area with the downtown. And again, with these bike routes and with walking paths, it just makes it that much easier to move around.
Excellent. Now, Hilton's Curio is going to Jamaica.
Yes, it is. The Jewel Duns River Beach Resort and Spa in Ocho Rios, they actually joined the Hilton brand, and more specifically their Curio collection. And the Curio collection are more of their higher-end boutique hotels with those local experiences. I think that's a very nice addition, as I think that Jamaica had kind of, you know, become this reputation of just your all-inclusive, big hotels, big resorts. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is really great. They're going to have a nice spa, 24-hour fitness center, a 9-hole pitch and putt golf course, weekly dive-in movies under the stars. I think that's really special. And then, of course, live reggae music on the beach.
You know, we haven't been to Jamaica in a while. I think
it's
about time. We need to go. I think it's time to go back. All right. The Great America Beer Festival. What is going on there?
Well, beer is really becoming that big up-and-coming or growing sector, I think. And with American beer, you have these artisanal creations that are coming about. And there are several restaurants, even here in Chicago, where their beer list has gotten very extensive. And so has the Great American Beer Festival. It has really grown. It's become very extensive. And it's part of the Brewers Association. It's the largest collection of U.S. beer that's served in a public tasting event. It's going to encompass 60, it's going to have 60,000 attendees, and they're actually adding 90,000 additional square feet. And it's going to be at the Colorado Convention Center in Denver. And so they've put a lot into it. They have Sit and Sip, where you can sit with brewers and hear about their beers. You have You Be the Judge, so where you can learn how to taste. And they're also going to have craft beer deconstruction, this is where you learn about the ingredients and how beer is developed. And, of course, the art of craft beer. And I recently went to an event here in Chicago where a team from Florida came up, and they highlighted their craft beers.
Okay,
and they
now
brought them here.
Crafts. When you say craft beer, you know, I don't know anything about beer. So when you say craft beer, what does that mean?
That means that these are smaller beer companies. They're a lot of times local. Sometimes they don't import to other countries or even distribute outside of their own region. So it's very much of an artisan approach, and that's what's considered a craft beer. And so you get all of these nice nuances and flavors, and I learned that beer has more flavor profiles than wine. I've done some different beer tastings recently, and it's amazing the different tastes and approaches to beers, and especially with craft beers, they can do this because they're not producing mass quantities.
Well, if they can find a beer that isn't bitter, I will love to taste it.
It's what I like about beer, but they do. They have these fruit beers that are infused with different fruits. They have lemon, they have berry, they have ginger. They have so many different flavor profiles.
Okay.
Even coffee.
Really?
Yes.
Airlines, why do they want Congress to step in?
This is in regards to the open skies policy. And we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. The open skies allows foreign carriers to come into the United States and operate domestic flights within the United States. And, of course, the legacy carriers, the big three that we've talked about before, are not happy with this. And they've done things to really thwart these efforts. And we know that Virgin has come in, Virgin America mm-hmm. has come in successfully. And what's happening is that these other carriers are saying, look, this is what is needed to keep the market competitive, because if we allow the big three, American, United, and Delta, to corner the market, it's going to take away that competition, not just in pricing, but service as well, and also the type of aircrafts that are offered, the type of service that you're getting on board. And so they feel that this is a very healthy addition, these open skies. And, of course, these big three are trying to stop it at every track. And that includes your Gulf carriers, because, you know, these Gulf carriers, they've been very innovative with services right. and the types of aircrafts and seats. And they can also be very competitive with pricing as well. Airline Coalition, they really want U.S. Congress to step in now to stop the big three from stopping a lot of the progress of the open skies.
This is going to be interesting to watch, I'm sure. Okay, Delta plans to pamper.
Yes, they do. They plan to pamper their employees with private airport spas.
Ooh.
And they're saying, you know, it's a lot to spend an entire day at an airport. And they want to show appreciation to their employees. It's not something free that they're offering, but they're providing these services at a heavily discounted price for their employees. And, of course, they're giving them the opportunity to be able to just walk in, have that kind of walk-in mm-hmm. service, whether it's a massage or a facial. And I tell you, those things go a very long way. Just consider somebody who's been standing on their feet all day at the ticket counter or at the gate counter, somebody who's been baggage handling mm-hmm. and lifting the mm-hmm. bags. And can you imagine what's happening with their back and dealing with cargo and heavy lifting and all of that?
Just the stress of dealing with passengers and their attitudes and yeah. everything, that's a good thing. The future of TSA.
Well, TSA is really looking at a very ambitious strategy. They want to upgrade technology, connect more with the services that they're providing, and their, of course, their approach to security.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make sure that they are doing it as efficiently as possible. They have a strategic 5-year technology investment plan for aviation security. And I think that I'm very happy to see that they're addressing this and rolling something out, because they see, you're talking about 1.8 million passengers and 1.2 million checked bags daily at airports across America.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
A whole lot. Well, folks, when we come back, we're going to have Javon's Travel Minute, and we're going to be out at the open. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Deshawn.
And I'm Javon Harley. On HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
Here's today's Black History Moment on the Howard University Radio Network.
Today in Black History, we honor baseball legend Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was born in 1919 in Cairo, Georgia. In 1920, he and his family moved to Pasadena, California. It was there that Jackie Robinson would begin to excel in sports. After graduating high school, Robinson attended Pasadena Junior College and UCLA. Robinson played in the Negro Baseball League for the Kansas City Monarchs as a shortstop. In 1947, Robinson became the first African-American Major League Baseball player, breaking the color barrier. He would go on to play with the Brooklyn Dodgers for 9 years and won numerous honors, including the Rookie of the Year Award in 1947, elected to the Major League Baseball All-Century Team, and named as one of the most influential people of the 20th century. Today, we honor Jackie Robinson in Black History.
This has been Black History Moments on the Howard University Radio Network.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Hi, I'm Craig Morgan. You might know me for my songs, but before I sang country music, I served in the United States Army, where I stood side by side with some of the most resilient people I've ever met. They taught me that one small act can make a big difference during tough times. If you're a veteran or service member in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. One conversation can save a life. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
I was 11 years old at my first national championship. I fell, I don't know how many times.
Michelle Ball is the most decorated figure skater in U.S. history.
But I had a dream. My dream came true because I dedicated myself.
Dedication made Michelle Kwan a champion.
I was passionate about something and I made sure that I worked hard for it.
And dedication can make your dreams a reality.
Whatever your dream and goals are, they can come true.
Dedication. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Winston Churchill's immortal words stirred an entire country in the face of certain defeat. Today, these words give each of us the courage to reach for our own victories.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never.
Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're back with The Traveling Eye on AQR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Bonnie DeShong.
And I'm Javon Harley.
Now, we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages. So come on and join us on all three of these and use the hashtag #TheTravelingEyeShow. And now it's time for Javon's Travel Minute.
Well, you may think the toilet is the dirtiest place on an airplane and in an airport. But think again, it's the tray table and the water fountain. Germs are measured in CFUs, or colony-forming units per square inch. In a recent study conducted on airplanes and in airports, microbiologists found 275 CFUs on toilets and their flushing handles, while tray tables registered a whopping 2,155 CFUs. That's 8 times more than toilets. In that same study, they found that water fountain buttons registered 1,240 CFUs. All of this is a case for taking matters into your own hands by bringing sanitizing wipes with you. Sanitizing wipes are not just for your hands. Now, when on an aircraft, wipe down your tray table, your seat belt buckle, and armrest before you touch them. And in the airport, use a napkin at the water fountain. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute.
Ew. When was the last time you actually used a water fountain, though?
Actually,
in airports, I typically don't. Mm-hmm. But a lot, I see people using them all the time. So the point is that people do use them, and mm-hmm. they're there. But that tray table, eight times more than the toilet.
I never would have thought that.
Yeah.
I never would have thought that. I mean, it's like I'm still not sitting on a bare toilet. But
no. And it's mainly that toilet handle.
Where everybody touches.
Or button that you push, yeah. However it goes on. Yeah. That only registered 275.
I can't imagine. I'm just thinking of the tray table. And so when you were saying wipe down everything before you sit down, I'm thinking of the lines of people trying to get in and you're trying to get into your seat.
Well, no, the tray
anything.
Table is usually up when you sit down.
But the buckle and the rest.
Right. When you don't, you have to wait to, you have to be seated to put your belt buckle on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just get in your seat, and actually the belt buckle and the armrest
tested about the same as the toilet handle, so it's not as bad as the tray table. So go ahead and take your seat. You're not going to touch the belt buckle right away. And at that point, take out your wipe and wipe down your tray table. You can do that in your seat.
Right. And then wipe your hands after you've done that.
And then
you
wipe down your armrests and...
You're cool.
There you go.
Before we get out to the open, though, what is going on with Dubai?
Oh, Dubai's at it again. I tell you, they think of these wonderful, wonderful things. How about calling for a taxi from your home or from your office, getting into the taxi, being able to weigh your luggage and print your boarding pass en route to the airport in the taxi so that when you're there, you don't have to do that.
Are you kidding?
All you have to do is go through security.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding. They are rolling out this new plan, and it's in cooperation with Dubai Airports, the Roads and Transport Authority, and they've made this announcement. The taxi will weigh your luggage, give you boarding or baggage tags, and will process your boarding pass before you reach the airport.
And it's all just one swipe. You can pay your taxi fare and all of that at the same time.
Exactly. And so what they'll do basically is when you call for a taxi from your home or from your office or your hotel, you indicate you're going to the airport, then they will only send those taxis that are equipped with these devices to weigh your bag and print your boarding pass and your baggage tags. And it's in connection with the airport, so they're working together. The Dubai Taxi Corporation, they are operated by the RTA or the Roads and Transport Authority. So the Dubai Airports and the Roads and Transport Authority are working together to develop this.
That is awesome.
It is. Talk about efficient and time saving.
I'm telling you. Well, Javon, I had such a great time following your experience at the Open on Facebook.
I did.
You did a great job. Your videos, your pictures, you can even feel the excitement.
It was a lot of fun. This was my first time going to the Open. Not my first time going to a tennis tournament, but certainly my first time going to a Grand Slam. There are four Grand Slam, starting at the beginning of the year in Australia at the Australian Open, then traveling on over to France and to Paris at the French Open, then England, as they call it, the All England Club, or Wimbledon.
Right.
And then the U.S. Open is the final Grand Slam of the year, and that's in New York in Flushing Meadows. And they all have different surfaces. So you have the Australian Open, and they have – it looks like a hard court, but it's called Rebound Ace. It's not a hard court. It's something like a hard court, but it does certainly have a different kind of bounce and feel to it, a little more cushiony than a hard concrete court. And then you have the French Open, which is a clay court. Now, clay courts are actually crushed brick. I've seen how they create them. And then you have the All England Club or Wimbledon, which is grass, and the U.S. Open is hard court. So if you can master all of those surfaces and win, then you can win the Grand Slam. And that's certainly what Serena Williams is after
right
this,
now
during the U.S. Open.
But what, may I ask, what do you mean Grand Slam? What does that mean?
Well, you have the slams, which are the Grand Slams are the big tournaments, the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. So a calendar year Grand Slam is winning all four of the majors in 1 year.
Okay. So a slam is not something that is just, I mean, it is that tournament. It's called the slam.
Exactly. Oh. The majors.
Mm-hmm.
The slam, the majors, or the grand events. That's what they are.
Right.
So I attended the U.S. Open this year, and how fantastic is it? Now, all of the major tournaments are 2 weeks. The first week are your early rounds, and then the second week are your finals. You have your quarterfinals, your semifinals, and then your final. And so that's what the second week is all about. And it's a process of elimination. So you start with 132 contenders, tennis players, and at the end, there will be two. And then at the end, there will be one.
Oh, my gosh. So you get the two top males and the two top females.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Everybody gets a big old plaque or something. I mean, whoever wins gets the big old slam, either the big platter or the
trophy. Depending on which tournament it is, they all have their own trophies. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you get your trophy at the end. So I wanted to just kind of walk through the process because it has its own culture. And just like any sporting event would, there are going to be some similarities as far as just going to a sporting event, but are going to be those things that are unique, not only to a tennis tournament or to one of the grand events, but also each one is very different. They have their different rules and regulations and how they're structured as far as buying the tickets and where they're located and all of that. That's what I really wanted to talk about as far as navigating it. I did a lot of research ahead of time, but some things you just don't figure out until you figure it out, until you get there.
So when you decided that you were going to go, how far in advance did you start your planning process?
I started the planning probably about 6 months prior when we decided that we wanted to go and booking the hotel accommodations. Because as you can pretty much tell in any kind of event, whether it's a sporting event or a music event, you need your hotel accommodations. Mm-hmm. You need a place to stay. And you want to get your airline tickets because otherwise those prices start creeping up. Now, the other part of that with the U.S. Open is that it's around Labor Day every year. So the second week is around Labor Day. And whether you're going to the event during that time or leaving the event at that time, you're still traveling over the Labor Day holiday mm-hmm. in some way or around it. So you want to get your tickets in advance, your hotel accommodations. Now, the U.S. Open is in an area called Flushing Meadows, and Flushing Meadows is near Queens, New York. And so you're trying to think, okay, where am I going to stay? We decided to stay in Manhattan because we wanted to do some other things in the city as well. There are accommodations near Queens, so if you are strictly about tennis and you want to be very near the center, and it's actually held at the Billie Jean King Tennis Center, which is right next door to the Mets Stadium as well. If you want to just do that and be much closer, then you can do that too. But transportation, getting there and all of that is very simple if you want to stay in Manhattan, which is what we did. What I want to first talk about is getting your tickets, because that's very important. What tickets are you going to get? How are you going to get your tickets? What's important to you? And you've heard me say this before. Since the tournament is in 2 weeks, you have to determine for yourself what's important to you, seeing your favorite players or attending the finals,
mm-hmm.
the quarters, the semis, and or the final itself. And so for me, the importance was seeing my favorite players. I can watch the finals at home on television. So I wanted to go the first week. There are other benefits to going the first week as well. There are many more players you can see because by the time you get to the second week, there are only 8 players left in the draw on both the male and the female side. The other thing is that you get less expensive prices. Of course, the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the finals are going to be more mm-hmm. expensive. And so not only do you get to see your favorite players, you see more tennis, and it's less expensive.
Wow.
And it's just something about that excitement of opening night, and you have all of these fun things to do and to see. Now, in buying your tickets, you can get individual tickets by per session.
Okay, so you can get your, if you will have your specific person that you want to see play, you can get just for that match.
The tournament is set up in sessions, day session, night session. So you can buy a day session during the day.
Okay.
And you can buy it specifically for a stadium, or you can buy night session. So you're not necessarily buying per match, you're buying sessions. Now, that being said, when you get your tickets, you don't know what we call the draw for tennis is going to be. The draw determines who's playing whom and how that whole process is going to work out. So typically you know that the number one player in the world is going to be on one side of the draw and the number two player in the world is going to be on the other side. So that if everything goes right and they continue to win, they will meet each other in the final.
Mm-hmm.
there's no way that the 1 and 2 player will meet each other before the final.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
Right. And so the draw is determined by your ranking. That's why it's so important for them to have rankings. So your top 10 players, if they win, should be in the second week. But we all know that they're upset and there are all kinds of things that happen. For example, this year, Maria Sharapova pulled out before the tournament began with an injury. So that changed the draw a little bit. You don't know who's playing whom until that draw and the schedule is put out. For example, the tickets that we bought, we knew what the draw was, but we were waiting with bated breath for the schedule. We definitely wanted to see Serena Williams play. She started off on day one, the opening day, and we didn't arrive until day two. So in the first week, they're playing every other day because there's just so many players. And then that's when we figured, okay, now we know what the schedule is going to be and we can kind of determine what we're actually going to do. So these are all the things that you want to know. So it's good to figure out the tournament, to figure out how it all works, and before you buy your tickets, or understanding that when you're buying your tickets. What we opted to do instead of individual, because when we added it all up, it was less expensive to buy packages. So what we bought was the Premier Week packages. So not individual tickets.
Okay, gotcha.
But we bought the Premier Week day session and the Premier Week night session. So that meant that we were covered every day for the first week, day okay. and night.
See, that sounds like it's smart because you never know. And also, if you change your mind, you know that you have what you need.
Well, not only that, the first thing you want to do is go to the website. It's usopen.org. Create an account for yourself on the website. Now, here in this account is where your purchases are housed. So if you can print your tickets, but if you lose them, you still have them available mm-hmm. to you. Not only that, you can buy and sell your tickets. So we already had our Premier Week sessions day and night. We knew we weren't going to be there on opening day. So we listed them within the account system, and the tournament sold them for us.
Oh.
And you set up your bank account or you say you want a check. And so the money, they handle everything and the money comes back to you. Now, on Thursday evening, we were just all tuckered out by the end of the day. We were like, we're not going to make the night session. Let's try to sell our tickets. We listed them that morning and they sold. At the same time, we said, oh, Sunday, Serena is going to play her fourth round match. So let's buy Sunday tickets because we didn't have Sunday tickets. And we were able to go through that same system and buy them.
Sounds like it's a no-stop shop, like you didn't have to worry about anything.
Right.
They did it all for you.
And you want to download the app because on the app you can get the schedule, the draw. You can keep who's playing on what tournament, I mean, on what stadium. So it gives you all of your information right there at your fingertips. Now, at the U.S. Open, the big stage is Arthur Ashe Stadium. That's the big one. So your number one players are always going to play on Arthur Ashe Stadium. So this year, that's the stadium that you buy your tickets for. The other stadiums are open. All of the what they call the outer courts, those are the courts that are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you have your other stadiums. The next largest stadium is Louis Armstrong Stadium, and then from there is the grandstand. And then from there, court 17 is the largest, and then from there, they're all smaller courts. So they're all in use the first week. And as the second week comes around, there are fewer players. Those outer courts and things aren't used as much. You have more of your doubles players and all of that. So it makes it very useful to have the app so that you always know what's going on. And the other thing you can do, let's say you don't want to buy Arthur Ashe and you just want to see whatever tournaments you can see, then you can buy a grounds pass, which is very inexpensive. It's a lot less expensive than buying tickets, and you can still go to all the outer courts, and you can go to Louis Armstrong, grandstand, and just see you know, whatever seats are available that you can get in to see.
Now, it's open air. Are all the stadiums open, all the courts open air?
All of the courts are open air. However, by next year, Arthur Ashe will have a retractable roof for rain delays. And Wimbledon now has one. Australian Open now has one. So the only two that don't right now is the French Open and the U.S. Open. But they've already made some changes to Arthur Ashe, and by next year, Arthur Ashe will have a retractable roof for those rain delays.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's getting your tickets. And as you can see, if you are still trying to decide, get your tickets first because you can sell those tickets. And believe me, they sell. You can sell them at face value or they give you a range within you can sell them. And it makes it so much easier. And you can buy online, you can buy over the phone, or you can go to the U.S. Tennis Center or the Billie Jean Tennis Center in order to do that. If you want to, you can buy the full series, both Premier and the second week. So the second week is called the Open Premier. So you have the Premier week and the Open Premier. And then you have day and night sessions. So if you want to do all of it, you can do all
of it. You can do all of it.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it is just so much fun. But knowing that you have your tickets and your seat assignments at Arthur Ashe, they are rolling out a couple of new things. Well, they had it this year for Louis Armstrong, but next year they're going to have it for Grandstand where you can get some pre-reserved seats there. But not the entire stadium is going to be pre-reserved. They're still going to have some open. So they have different sections, so if you want to get those tickets. So I saw that on next year's website.
Well, that's great. Now, is enhancing and upgrading your experience. How does that would did you?
Well, it is. That's fantastic because they have these hospitality lounges, and you can buy access into them. They run about $50 or $60 depending on when you're buying it and for the day or for the night session. So they open a little bit earlier. You can go to these hospitality lounges, and they have beer and wine, and they have water and little snacks, and then they have other food for purchase. So it's a great way to get out of the heat. And if you're going to be drinking anyway, it's a great savings because with any event, you know, food and beverage is going to be more expensive at the event. So it's a great savings if you want to do that, but it's also a great place to go and unwind. Also, look to the sponsors. That's a great way. Now, in this particular case, American Express is a sponsor of the U.S. Open. They had a lounge that was free, not only for American Express cardholders, but free for everyone. And they had games and things that you can play, but they had special things if you were an American Express cardholder, like gifts for you, and then they had a private lounge upstairs. And so, again, if you want to get in out of the heat and cool down, charging stations, and then, of course, the gifts and free photos and fun things that you can do and participate in. Chase is a sponsor for American Express, and so they, too, had a lounge and different access and different freebies and things that they were giving away.
Wow.
Emirates Airline is a sponsor, and so they were giving away these seat cushions, and they had to stand in line, but so we were like, what can we get for free? So you can certainly enhance your experience that way. Now, we talked about where to stay. We stayed in Manhattan. And getting to and from the stadium was actually quite easy. Taking the train is the best way to get there. When we arrived at LaGuardia Airport, we found out that we were only 10 minutes from the tennis center. So we said rather than going into town, into Manhattan, and then getting back to the Open, that would have been a couple of hours at least, we decided to take a taxi straight. We could have taken the train, but we just, since we had luggage, we took a taxi straight to the tennis center from the airport. It was just 10 minutes away. They have lockers there, and they can store your luggage for you, give you a luggage tag, a baggage tag, and you're on your way. And that's exactly what we did. All of the other days, once we were settled, we took the train. The number 7 takes you directly to the tennis center and the Mets. It's the shared station. So if you're going to see the Mets, and we did run into some of those folks, or if you're just going to the tennis center, it puts you right there. and get off the train, and within a few feet, you're at the tennis center.
And it's economical.
It's very economical. Now, the number 7 train, usually you can get right near Times Square at 42nd Street. We were a bit away. We could have taken the E, where we were on about 54th and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have taken the E train and connected to the 7 train, but we opted to just walk the 10 blocks down to 12 blocks down to 42nd and take the train straight away. So it also gave us that experience of going to Times Square as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it very convenient. We bought a Metro Pass, and we spent like $20 on a Metro Pass for the entire week.
Wow. See, that's key. Now, did you like pack everything up in a backpack and stuff and carry it with you so you had all your stuff together?
No, we did have bags, and actually we bought these U.S. Open bags that were tote bags. But there's a long list of what you can and can't take. So backpacks are a dirty word. You don't want to take backpacks. We saw a parade of people being turned away every single day. So you may not bring backpacks or coolers or sealed packages of any kind, bottles or cans that are glass or metal, aerosol, alcohol, video cameras, or recording devices, although they do allow cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So just those, you know, separate video cameras and recording devices. They don't allow computers or laptops, so you want to leave those things. Food, except in limited quantities or for medical, dietary, or infant purposes. So people had their own little snacks and
mm-hmm.
things like that. And it's good to bring that because, let's say, if you've been at a match all day and you don't want to buy a big meal or you just want a snack and you don't want to spend a fortune for it, you can have some nuts and things like that that you can bring with you. And we did. Here's another tip. We would buy a big bottle of water each day, and then they had water fountains around the park. We would just fill it up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you really didn't have to touch them that much.
Exactly. Selfie sticks are not permitted.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't bring in your own tennis rackets, no laser devices and all of that. So go on the website. It's usopen.org and read the guide, what you can and cannot bring. That's very, very important, as well as knowing the code of conduct and what to wear and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to do it again next year?
I think so. We were there. We had such a great time. We really think that we want to do it again. We have a better lay of the land. We understand this ticket purchase. I think I would have no qualms. Right now, you can book for 2016 with a deposit. So if you change your mind, you can still try to sell your tickets. It's no, and I tell you, it will sell. Don't worry about it. It will sell. So you can make those arrangements in advance. I would recommend staying in Manhattan because we did some other things, and we went to different restaurants, and we explored Manhattan, and it was fun getting to and from the stadium as well. Oh, and another thing I wanted to say, that their practice courts, the app will tell you who's on what practice court. So if you just want to see your favorite players in action practicing, and it's a good way to kind of get autographs too.
Oh, see, now that's a great thing. So, folks, go to Facebook and check out the pictures and the video. You'll have a great time looking at that. And if you were at the Open, let us know and use the hashtag #TheTravelingEyeShow. When we get back, we'll have Bonnie's Eye on. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Deshawn.
And I'm Javon.
The world is a book. And those who do not travel read only a page. See the world with Advantage International. Advantage specializes in group travel and offers group trips to top destinations around the world. Join an existing group or have a travel specialist at Advantage to design that special trip for your organization, family, school, or church. Go to advantage-intl.com for a current trip or call Advantage at 1-877-428-2773.
At Video Twist Production, we understand that capturing memories on video means capturing what's really important, bringing your ideas to life, the stories without a pen. Whether you're hosting an event or putting together a demo, Video Twist Production can captivate your content, allowing your viewer to relive an experience of a lifetime. We take pride and pay attention to every detail in turning your valued ideas into everlasting memories. Call 708-333-5300, mention The Traveling Eye, and receive a free gift. That's 708-333-5200.
The Silent Storm exposes the dangerous side of love. Saturday mornings, join Denise McCain and Mandrill Burke
as they discuss issues impacting families who are confronting domestic violence. The two relationship crusaders explore everything from child sex abuse to date rape. The Silent Storm, a show giving people a voice and a way out of an abusive relationship. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, a part of the Howard University Radio Network. Family comes first, so why not find better ways to get along with it? On Family Affair, they do just that. Saturday afternoons, join veteran broadcaster Millette Green and clinical therapist Dr. Sonia Ford as they go over past and present news stories that you and your family can relate to. From topics dealing with cyberbullying to discussing the cycle of obesity, Family Affair is here to help you get through it all. So join them Saturdays at 3:30 p.m. on SiriusXM Channel 141 HUR Voices.
Hi, I'm Hoda Kotb from NBC's Today Show. I am so excited to let you know that I have my very own exclusive show on Today Show Radio on SiriusXM. After you listen to Kathy Lynn Hoda talk to me about it, we're going to talk music, tech, exercise, nutrition, relationships, and celebs. This show is going to be so much fun. We're going to get to know each other. Join me, Hoda Kotb, for The Hoda Show, Mondays and Wednesdays, 2 p.m. East on Today Show Radio, SiriusXM 108.
Habitat for Humanity builds houses and so much more. A Habitat build site is where setting a brick can build a community, where digging a foundation can fill a family with hope, where driving a nail can secure an education, where building a wall breaks down barriers, where hanging a door opens a world of opportunity. Habitat for Humanity builds houses and so much more. What will you build? Visit habitat.org to learn more.
Is today's Black History Moment on the Howard University Radio Network.
Today in Black History, we honor baseball legend Jackie Robinson.